Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, June 16th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Development Officer Cody Sinclair and Director of Philanthropy Liz Dearcorn. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Now, good morning. Only 4 days of spring left. We were talking about this a little bit before the mics went on. How has your spring been? Liz, I'll begin with you.
Yes. Thanks for asking. It's been fast and furious, it feels like. I can't believe we're already here in summer. And, we're headed into the end of June here. But we're excited for summer. Summer's one of my favorite seasons, so we're ready for it.
Spring is mine.
It feels
like it's just here in the blink of an eye and gone.
Yeah.
I've seen some lawns already starting to turn brown out there, and it's just kind of heartbreaking. Cody, how about yourself?
Yeah, no, it's been a great spring. It's been nice that we had as much moisture as we did this spring, keeping everything green. And again, I'm excited to get up into the mountains and just enjoy all that Sheridan has to offer. We're just so fortunate here.
You like going camping, things like that?
Yeah, any outdoor activities I really enjoy. And again, we have so much here close by. And also just the community, comes alive, I feel like. Spring and summer, and people are downtown and enjoying our downtown, enjoying just the parks and all the stuff that we have here. We're just so fortunate.
The events. I mean, that's really kind of the big highlight for the summer. A lot of people look forward to these days off, but those in the service industry and those who report the news, now we're coming up on the busy season.
Yeah.
This is the time everyone goes out to shine. Now, a little less than a year ago, I actually had Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Executive Officer Mike McCafferty on the show. He was here with you. During that appearance, he spoke on the need for mental health care here in the state of Wyoming, something that you guys have been working on, two decades now?
Yeah, when I first came to the hospital, Mike McCafferty had been speaking about it, and I think for decades before that, the need for mental health care. And I think, some things during the pandemic, it highlighted the need for that, that it was there, but just kind of brought it out into the public, and also brought out some opportunities as there were, support and resources specifically for behavioral health that really kicked things off, which was fabulous. So the state had some funds that were specifically designated for behavioral health, and we had good support, really great support from Governor Gordon and our legislature. And so the hospital initially was able to apply for and receive funding, matched funding from the state. And so that was pretty amazing to kick this whole thing off.
So that was the official beginning of the Growing For You campaign?
Yeah, I think we had been talking about this for some time. There'd been discussions about, again, the need for more mental health resources. You know, how does that happen? Building a brand new, behavioral health unit just wasn't in the cards. I think, 4 or 5 years ago, that cost was over $32 million, and so that just isn't in the cards. But as the hospital leadership stepped back and looked at what could they do to repurpose space within the hospital, really brought those costs down, really cut it in half. And then when the state had funding available, people really came out of the woodwork to help out. So the state, local donors and foundations, the county contributed major contribution, regional partners, Helmsley Charitable Trust stepped up. So just a lot of people came forward to help really get this vision moving. So it's exciting to see, a year ago, it's amazing to think a year ago and where we're at today, because it really, that vision is going to become a reality here pretty quick.
And it's kind of incredible the amount of work that's been done,
mm-hmm.
At least in my opinion. I mean, it hasn't even been a year since, mm-hmm. Mr. McCafferty sat right there talking about, hey, this is something that we're going to go forward with. And as the leader, this is, in my opinion, one of his great legacies before he walks away. This is an entire new realm of healthcare for Sheridan Memorial Hospital. It's not a small endeavor. Was there a bit of apprehension? And how do you approach something like that? Where you basically say, okay, we are going to have to get the best professionals in here. We are going to have to, I mean, the list goes on and on about what has to be done. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some trepidation and some apprehension behind that. What was that like in that room?
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of questions that were posed. You know, can we find the professionals that there's such a shortage of? Can we find those professionals and make this happen? You know, it's not an area that, you know, the reimbursements for mental health care are not great, but it's a need. We need mental health care here. We have, you know, great partners and resources here, providers that are doing that work. And that's one of the things I think Dr. Kinney talked about when he spoke with you, of how many, you know, how happy he was to come into a community. So Dr. Kinney's our new psychiatrist, but he came into a community with, you know, so many people willing to help and jump on board, a community that works together, you know. So we were, you know, again, concerned that can we find the people, but we opened the position for a psychiatrist, and Dr. Kinney, just such a great fit for us and the community. He really has a passion for mental health care, but he also has a passion for bringing the community together.
Yeah.
So he's already, and that gap that we found, there's great people out there doing this work, but there's also a gap in, well, when I need that, how do I connect with the resources in our community? And that more, you know, preventative and having a place to go. And if I'm in crisis, what happens? Because we've been working on this as a community, and people, you know, have come to, maybe they have somebody they're seeing, or they're in crisis and they come to the emergency room, and we do our best. And I, again, people throughout the community have been doing their best, but really we're missing some key resources, facilities and professionals trained in that. And so I think it was exciting to see that we can find a psychiatrist, and we know the college is behind us in training folks in behavioral health field. It's exciting to see how that's come together. People in this community are just wonderful, giving and again, determined when there's a problem to fix it. So that's exciting.
And Cody, I'm glad you brought up the college, because that was an entire aspect of this that I haven't even, hasn't even crossed my mind. I can now be raised, go to school and work right here in Sheridan. Mm. If I choose to pursue a mental health profession.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely incredible. Mm. You know, being able to, because a lot of people want to do that. You know, they want to stick around and help their community with its challenges. And I think that's absolutely admirable. Now, for those who may not have heard, what is the need that we keep talking about when it comes to mental health within the community? Because I know a lot of people might be saying, wow, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of effort. What is it all for?
Yeah. It's, and sometimes I know it's, you don't, healthcare in general is you don't know you need it till you need it. Mm. And that's what we're seeing, you know, firsthand is, the need is significant, as we all hear the figures and the numbers and whatnot, but we are the community needs the right place, the right department, and the right team to take care of these people going through a mental health crisis. And that seeing this all come together just phase by phase has been absolutely incredible. With the help of many community members and whatnot, it is, it's been absolutely inspiring to see, the community come together and bring forth, not just the financial stability, but the volunteering and the, communicating, to help with the stigma of mental health. But this whole project in general is, I don't know. It's such a need. It's crazy, but it's coming and it's here, and it's going to help so many in need that, we couldn't be more excited to be a part of it. Yeah, we could go on and talk about, the facility in general. I mean, the phases that we've been through. So we're on phase 3 of 4 of the project, And that's been, you know, like Cody mentioned, we're, you know, renovating different areas of the hospital to bring this unit here. And each department is getting upgrades and enhancements. And it's really been remarkable to see how quickly those phases are coming to fruition. But that end goal of bringing that behavioral health unit is currently, you know, underway. And it's just amazing to see it all, yeah, come to life already.
Now, so, when we talk about something as big as this, is this kind of typical that, and maybe it's the driving force behind it. Maybe it's the passion of the individuals involved. Mm-hmm. But is it typical for a hospital to get this much done this quickly? And I'm not trying to blow smoke. This was done pretty quickly, correct?
Yeah, it really has happened pretty quickly. There's just so many people behind the scenes that are making it happen. Hard to even list. I'd hate to start on the list because I'd leave somebody out. But we have a team at the hospital. Brittany Goodvin is our director of behavioral health, and she's brought together her team that we now have a behavioral health clinic. And so I think it's taking this huge thing and breaking it down into sections. So the first was, we had this vision, I think, to say, what does that look like for a unit to come here, and what things do we need? So I think we talked before about the visits that our team took to other area behavioral health units. So going across the region and visiting Billings and Sioux Falls and Rapid City and Cheyenne and Casper and Evanston and all these places that are doing it, to say, hey, what is best practice out there? And when we bring this to our region, what is it going to look like? And so we've learned a lot from them. And then I think taking the time to listen to our community about what are the gaps. Mm-hmm. It changed even as we've gone through the process to realize a big gap is that, how do I get connected to the services? And so if I'm in crisis and I call, you know, calling a number of providers on my own is a really daunting task.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are backed up and they don't have... And so
I'm stressed and I got anxiety anyway.
And then it's complicated. Healthcare is complicated. And so I think that's really, I'm excited about the work that Brittany and Dr. Kinney have done, and their whole team. Again, Kyle Seeley and Haley Blaney, that's that core behavioral health team. But they've connected with the community. Already, Dr. Kinney has connections where he has reached out to other providers. He and a team have reached out to other providers, and they have a resource list of who is out there, what's the availability, and what are they kind of specialize in. And so, you know, when they get a call from somebody in need, there's care, but also follow-on connections and care in our community. So understanding that as a gap and having that clinic urgent care for behavioral health available, that was something we hadn't initially planned on, and now is really central and core to what this new behavioral health unit will be, in addition to that crisis stabilization and inpatient unit that we had planned before.
So that's incredible. So the team down there essentially has reached out to other mental health professionals here within the city. We're not working against you. We're going to build a big network of care. Mm. We're going to work together on some level, and we're going to make sure that the patient is taken care of from possible crisis and moving forward past that.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love that collaboration that they're doing within the community, because, I mean, I know they've got like this tracking forum to make sure they're tracking and talking to all the counselors in town to also help guide patients that may need to see somebody right mm-hmm. away, and they know how far out certain professionals are in their business to, you know, who can see the patient, you know, in an appropriate, timely manner. And then also you think about the patients that have had relationships with their counselor and have been seeing counselors for, you know, several years.
A lot of trust there.
Yeah. They know these, you know, their patients very well. And so to have that collaboration with Dr. Kinney and the team there is just taking care of the community.
It's an amazing ideal, and I'm not sure if other communities have done it. I'm sure they have. You know, the wheel has been around for quite some time, mm-hmm. but the idea that there's no competition here. We're all here to care for our patient.
We really are, and I think that, you know, we don't need to duplicate services. We just need to utilize the services we have, and so I think the collaboration, we've been grateful for the collaboration with all those providers, with our local law enforcement, the court systems that also can play an important role, the VOA, the VA, just it's really been incredible. So you ask how you get something done this
wow.
big,
yeah.
you know, when you have a whole community come together, and then we have, with the foundation, we have a committee that meets every couple of months, and we just call it our community interest committee, people that were interested and had a passion, and then we get together, and they help us spread the word and then connect with other groups, too, like NAMI. NAMI, just an incredible group. And so, yeah, I think it's been a team effort for sure.
Liz, I'm getting the go to commercial signal, but before I go there, what was the monetary goal that the foundation set out with to raise?
Yes. So the total project goal was about $18 million, but the foundation local, the foundation's goal was $8.12 million. And yeah, we're just under, well, we're about $700,000 shy of that and hoping to get there by the end of the year.
Wow.
It's remarkable.
You know, yeah. With how much did we have to raise the last time I had you two in here? I can't remember right off the top of my head. And I failed to look that up. You'll have to forgive me. But I feel like a lot has been done. Like yeah. a very considerable amount has yes. been raised in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. But we have to wonder, has the low fruit been picked? Is the last $700,000 going to be a challenge, do you think? Or do you feel that this is absolutely an attainable goal?
Yes, it's attainable. I'm confident like we've talked about, this community is amazing and they're behind this project very much so.
I mean, this is going to end up making, I mean, it already is. You know, I talk about it like it's a future endeavor, but the fact of the matter is these networks have been made. The doctor is here. Things are being done. It's all happening right now. All right, on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital and the Foundation right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. In May of 2022, among adults in Wyoming who reported experiencing symptoms of anxiety and/or depressive disorder, 32% reported needing counseling or therapy but not receiving it in the past 4 weeks. That's compared to the U.S. average of 28%. That same year, Wyoming's suicide rate was 120% higher than the national average. There is a definite need for mental health here in the Cowboy State, folks. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Development Officer Cody Sinclair and Director of Philanthropy Liz Dearcorn. We're talking about the progress that's being made in the Growing For You campaign. The campaign is raising funds as Sheridan Memorial Hospital utilizes existing space, building a system of care in Sheridan County to ensure that those struggling with mental health have a place to go. For those who may have just joined us, what was the monetary campaign for, or the monetary goal of the campaign, excuse me?
Yes, so the total project goal for this capital campaign was $18.9 million, and we have seen so much support individually from different corporations, businesses, local businesses, and the state legislature. So in total, we are just about $700,000 shy of meeting that goal. And yeah, it's been incredible to see so many care about this.
Yeah.
The subject. Yep.
When was the campaign itself officially kicked off. Now, Cody, you talked about how the state government had some money set aside for mental health. You guys were able to utilize a lot of those grants. When did the campaign kick off, and how much had to be made in the campaign itself? Do you guys remember?
It was in 2023, I think, when we kind of kicked it off. Again, it started with the funds from the state, and some of those initial funds had to be matched pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And so that was what was so incredible to see, that initial support, really those, we call it the quiet phase, because you're talking to, you know, major donors and foundations, and again, the county and some other entities. And that once that initial match, again, it was a $6.4 million that needed to be matched in short order. Once that was met, then it really transitioned into this active public campaign to say, okay, now we've reached, you know, that 70 to 80% of the goal. Now let's finish this campaign. And that's where the community really comes in. And we've seen all kinds of support. Odell Construction and the Odell family, you know, put out a match that we're currently working on. It's a $45,000 match. It has really got people excited. And so we've received, you know, a lot of donations, but also just questions. And that's, we like that too. It's been fun to give tours and to talk about this and learn, you know, from people what they've experienced. And I feel like every tour we learn something, every interaction we connect people. And so that's going to, as much as we have the campaign and as Liz said, we feel the support and know that the support is there to get us to the campaign goal. We really want this, when the behavioral health unit opens, that it's, people know about it. People are, you know, are aware and are getting, you know, the folks that they really need this. And again, we all may need this at some point, that it's all here for us, and that it's ready to go. And it's pretty exciting to think about Dr. Kinney, you know, already, you know, having over 300 patients in his panel, and that's just in 6 months. And so
that's incredible.
Yeah. And so those, you know, those are folks that wouldn't have had care, you know, if not for this moving forward. And so at least care here in Sheridan, they'd have to go outside of our community for psychiatric care. So,
and I can only imagine the money being saved, you know, and the people who have had to seek that care outside of town, probably driving as far as, you know, Billings, Casper. I mean, it's quite a ways off. And if you've got to do that for a weekly or a monthly appointment, it just begins to wear on you. Not just the financial part of it, but the drive itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes in winter, forget about it. I can't even get over here to work sometimes. So I could only imagine. And the relief that they've got to feel, knowing I don't have to do that anymore. You know, and know that your community has got a place to go just in case I need it. Now, the matching gift from the Odell Construction family, let's talk about that. Can folks just help out the average person? If someone says, you know what, I really believe in this cause, this is something that the community's needed, someone's finally picking that up and carrying it on their back, how do I help them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, yeah, if anybody would like to join in this matching opportunity, we'd obviously love to have them. And you can do that, you know, several different ways. But yeah, just being passionate about mental health and behavioral health is kind of what stemmed this gift. And there's ways to go about donating and matching and making your donation double. And that is, you know, if you go to our website at SheridanHospital.org, our team has done a fantastic job of getting our website updated and really speaking to the project. And so there's an easy website there to hop onto. Otherwise, you can, you know, always call our office. We're happy to bring anybody through. You know, it's the community hospital, so we'd love to bring anybody through for a tour. just to see the project, see the phases. I mean, you can visually tour, you know, those phases at this point, and it's really, you know, fun to see and see Odell's incredible work that we've teamed up with them, and stayed on track and on time, and it's been a wonderful thing to be a part of. But yeah, lots of ways to reach out, and we'd love to connect with anybody who's interested.
You know, that I think that's fantastic. Folks who are saying, you know what, I'm going to put my dollar towards something meaningful, and I would like to put eyes on that. And so right now you guys are at the stage where I can actually do that. I can come down. I can take a tour of the facility. I can look around. I can talk to some of the doctors, some of the administrators. I can try and figure out the whole process and then make the decision. Yeah, this is where I want to put my money. This is, you know, and that is meaningful for individuals, whether it be a couple hundred dollars or tens of thousands of dollars. It's what they can give. And no matter the amount, it is a piece of their heart going into something for the entire community. You know, and sometimes I often say, those who don't have a lot doing things like this carries a lot of weight, you know, for people who don't have the financial ability to do these types of things, to jump in on this one. Absolutely, absolutely a lot of weight to that. Now, Director of Behavioral Health, you mentioned her before, Brittany Goodvin, and Dr. Michael Kenny, essentially building this unit from scratch, I mean, from the ground up. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing is they did have a framework, I guess we could say. Sheridan Memorial Hospital has got a fantastic internal computerized system, heavy security to protect everybody's information. We've talked about that in the past. Looking at what they've done so far, how much farther do they have to go?
Well, I think it's exciting to think about when the unit opens, how much farther they will be able to go. I mean, because the work that's been done so far has just been so impactful. Again, you know, the idea that when somebody comes to the hospital now, there's resources here. And so where, you know, I think our teams did the very best they could and kept people safe and got people to the right place, you know, it was... not at the level it is today. And so when, you know, Kyle that I mentioned, Kyle Seeley does a great job interacting with our teams and doing assessments and, you know, and providing that care and case management for folks. And Dr. Kinney is seeing those patients. And then, you know, patients that, I don't know, before maybe would have had to leave our community are staying here. One of the goals overall was, you know, our Title 25, when somebody is a danger to themselves or others, you know, that's a tool that's used. But without the resource, it you know, it's used when maybe it wouldn't need to be if somebody just had the time and the resources to, you know, to stabilize. And so that's been really exciting. Our goal for the next 3 years, once the unit started, was to reduce Title 25s by 50%. And just in 6 months with what they've been able to do, just having the professional resource, not even that unit, they've reduced Title 25s by 17%. And so that, like you said, there certainly is, you know, a resource allocation there, but it's care. So people getting care here in their community around their family and friends. And that's really, I think, a really powerful testament to what they're doing. But once we have the unit open, then we have that front door, you know, currently that the behavioral health clinic is operating currently, but it'll be in that new space. And then we'll have a crisis stabilization, that area, that less than 24 hours that somebody can, who's in crisis, can have a calming area to stabilize, you know, get food, maybe get a shower, have family around them, have providers that can help. And in that first 24 hours can really stabilize, get a safe plan of care and get them back into the community. And then we'll have an inpatient unit as well, where if somebody needs a little more time than that, then we have that resource, again, continuation of that care. And so we'll have six inpatient rooms in the new facility. So allowing us to care for more of the community. And I think that that continuity of care, connecting with our community. So somebody isn't going through and just repeating this cycle, that we can help coordinate that amongst counselors and psychologists and, you know, therapists, that, that there's a real team effort, I think. And that's one thing that was exciting to hear from, you know, our schools. They have a really important part to play. We know from the data that our adolescents, there's a struggle there too. And so already the processes have been put in place to be able to team with our schools. So when a kiddo is needing services, there's a support team behind them. It's not just on our school counselors or on the physicians. It's really a you know, we're working together.
And I'm glad you brought up the cycling. And the reason why I say that is because I've been within the mental health realm, and it can feel like you're running on water. I'm gaining no ground. I'm not, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm going through this way too often. I feel like when I do go through it, it's a step backwards, if anything. You get these really destructive feelings about not being able to climb out of the hole, to see the end of the tunnel, and not having someone to talk to in those situations is dangerous. And I'll say it for what it is. It's dangerous. And so having a system, a network built around you. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. They might be out there listening saying, okay, this is another effort towards mental health, but this is a real network built around you that is here so that we can start gaining ground. We can start climbing the rope out of there. We can start to see the light at the end of that tunnel. And I think that is absolutely amazing. And in such a short span of time to have everything built, that's how I know the dedication is there. It's not just lip service. There are people on the ground in the field right now working for this. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan. Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Development Officer Cody Sinclair and the Director of Philanthropy, Liz Dearcorn. The Behavioral Health Unit is a major expansion to the Sheridan Memorial Hospital, an entirely new field of care, massive reconstructuring and administrative procedures, relocating of services. If we look at everything that has been done in such a short period of time, folks, you have to wonder, what's the disruption? How's everyone been not dealing with the relocation and everything that's happening inside the facility itself?
Yeah, and again, I think a lot of coordination is happening, and we've had to, you know, shut down some units and move some units, and so there is a lot that everybody, you know, on the team surrounding this are doing. So, and it impacts every team. So our, you know, medical surgical unit has moved rooms. You know, right now there's a hallway that's needing to be renovated. The HVAC system is needing renovated. So that means one of the hallways is closed down, and that means coordination of all those patients. And so it impacts our medical surgical nurses and CNAs, of course, our physicians and their post-surgery patients and our EVS and supply chain and everybody that's involved. And so it's been really exciting to see how our teams have handled this, and how they've, you know, come together. And it's not been, you know, seamless and always easy, but there's a real, coordinated effort, to make it happen.
And that's one of the things about being a team, isn't it? It's not just the good times and the easy stuff, but we got a challenge coming up. Mm-hmm. They're going to relocate us. We're going to have to adapt and overcome together. But, I imagine, because, see, I've heard that systems were updated. equipment was updated. We're not just going to move you. This is going to be like a whole new office for you. Am I hearing right?
Yeah, for many of the areas, I think, you know, Liz was talking about the different phases. So, you know, our pharmacy was that first phase of, you know, updating and moving the pharmacy into the lower level of the hospital. And so that was exciting to see, you know, a unit built specifically for the work done for that team. And then, you know, with the pharmacy move, then the pediatric unit was moved into where the pharmacy and respiratory care, where that previously was. And again, it brightened that space. It's a beautiful space. We'd love to show people what that pediatric unit is now. And it also added, you know, pediatric safe rooms. So we know that there's pediatric patients that struggle with behavioral health, mental health issues. And so they have a place that's safe now.
Wow.
Within the unit. And so that's exciting. We've, again, updated our emergency department, that initial entry, and later we'll get to update the actual emergency department, and there's a room within the emergency department where, you know, you need a safe space when somebody is in crisis and they also have emergency needs.
Yeah.
And they're still going to need, we're still going to have that need within our emergency department.
Medically and mentally.
Yes. Yeah. And so that update to the whole emergency department will be happening here soon as well. And so you have, yeah, all these different units that are getting, you know, impacted, but also improvements made. And so, yeah, it certainly has impacted more than just behavioral health as we've moved through this campaign and process.
Liz, if somebody is out there and they do want to get a tour, how do they hook that up?
Yeah, just give us a call, honestly. 673-2418 is the number at the foundation, and we'll get that set up and squared away. And yeah, would be wonderful to have those folks through the different phases. Like I said, it's really impressive to see several of them completed and done and on our way to that end goal.
Now you're out and about, you're working with the community members. Have there been any critics of this project? And if so, what were they critiquing?
You know, I have to say that I haven't met a critic yet. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Cody has. I have not met a critic. We've had so much support and, yeah, I guess I just can't.
No, I love to hear that.
Yes,
I love to hear that.
I haven't, honestly, gotten any criticisms. It's been amazing.
I think we've gotten questions, and I think that those are important. Like, hey, have you considered this? Hey, how are you dealing with this? And often it is in, you know, it's folks that haven't seen it work as well as it could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's areas where, again, some of it might be specifically around continuity of care, not finding somebody to when that's needed. It might be, you know, that having experienced the Title 25 process and seeing how difficult that can be. And again, it's hearing those questions, it's getting that feedback so that we, as we are, you know, putting together the unit and also, as you mentioned, the processes that we're, you know, considering all of those things. And again, it's a coordinated process. I think it's pretty exciting that we do have the connection with law enforcement and our court systems. And so there's actually a room within this behavioral health unit for law enforcement so that they're welcome, they're a part of this, and that when they come into the unit and are needed there or are you know, or maybe bringing someone to the unit, that they have a place that is theirs and that they feel comfortable. They're not just hanging out, they have a place in the unit. And that was one thing that, again, those were conversations and questions, and I think getting challenged about how are we going to do this well.
Yeah, and those challenges, not coming from a place of, you know, anti-mental health. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times those challenges, as you said before, maybe someone who's gone through that system.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work that time. So they know the shortfalls. They've seen those pits. And they're just wondering, Are we going to have that up here too? Mm-hmm. And by having those questions answered, you know, really seeing that, no, this is a good, clear road. And if you have pits that you've experienced, let us know so that we can look forward to trying to get those filled in. Because there's cracks in every system. And the only way that some of these systems even know that there's going to be cracks is if someone's already fallen through it. And so I think those conversations had candidly and upfront are absolutely beneficial for everyone. I'm running out of time. I want to talk just real quick about how we can donate one more time. But before I get there, and James, keep me on clock here. Cody, I just had a real quick question regarding that law enforcement that you were talking about before. Have you worked with the Sheridan County Sheriff and the Chief of Police, Travis Koltiska, to kind of design this room?
Yeah, I think the coordination has been from the very beginning. I think, you know, Mike McCafferty at the very start engaged our police, sheriff, but also down in Johnson County as well, because this is regional for us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the coordination has been there and will continue to be there, because this is, it's a dynamic, ever evolving thing. I was really excited to hear that, you know, that Dr. Kinney has already gone on a PD ride.
Yes.
And I think has similar, you know, desire to do that with the sheriff and again, other entities. And so, yeah, we're going to keep learning day by day.
What a fantastic resource to have a mental health professional, you know, who's like, I'll go with you. I'll help you out. I want to see what this is like out there. Because I have spoken with law enforcement for almost 7-8 years now regarding the challenges that they face. You know, they're not mental health professionals. They do everything that they can, but they are here to enforce and protect laws and residents of Sheridan and Johnson County. So it has been a challenge for them. And it's great to hear that they're going to get some reprieve in this whole thing as well. Liz, one more time. 1 minute left, my friend. How do I donate? How do I help out?
Yes. So just reach out to us. We'd love to, like we say, like to give you a tour and let you know, the details about the project. So you can give us a call at 673-2418, or you can go ahead and check out our website that is up to date at SheridanHospital.org and has lots of further information about the project in whole. So yeah, we'd love to have as many involved and just to be aware of this incredible project.
It's your hospital, folks. It's your new mental health wing. Get involved. Go down there. Take a tour. Get a gander at it. Liz, Cody, I want to thank you both so much for coming in. It's an absolute pleasure. I feel like we never have enough time. I think I covered maybe half of the questions that I had for you. But till next time, my friends, and hopefully that next time is going to be a grand opening.
That sounds great.
I think that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.